Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Zurian Show. As always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and good spirits. Today, we are going to talk with definitely a phenomenal individual in the sense of not only public speaking, but sharing information with people, working with people and helping them to understand how to not only grow their businesses, but also to grow themselves. Because the book, The Go-Giver, and Go-Givers Sell More are both phenomenal books. And today we're going to talk with Mr. Bob Berg. This will be our second time. And Bob is a sought-after speaker and at corporate conventions and entrepreneurial events. He has addressed audiences ranging in sizes from 50 to 16,000, sharing the platform with notables, including today's top thought leaders, broadcast personalities, Olympic athletes, politicians, political leaders, former United States presidents, and all of that he's done and enlightened each and every one of us when he's actually been able to speak or when been able to share his message with us. He's the writer and co-writer of Go Givers, Go Givers Sell More, and also Endless Referrals, which is another book that is a phenomenal book. I've only gotten to get a glimpse of that. But again, he's done some phenomenal stuff. He's also had the number 6 slot on the Wall Street Journal's Business Bestsellers. And, of course, this is just on one of the books. And he also reached number 9 in Business Week. Bob, again, is a phenomenal individual. And his book has sold over 250,000 copies in 21 different languages. So with no further ado, let's get you to the person you really want to hear from. Let's talk to Mr. Bob Berg. So, Bob, how you doing today? Whoops. Sorry about that. Technical, and it was my fault. So, Bob,
how you doing? That's okay. How are you? It's great to be with you again.
Oh, I'm always all right, always looking to do better. And I know that you're fine because it's just the way you are. It's just the way you roll, which is a beautiful thing. So, today, I'd like for us to, I guess, start off on the 5 laws, and I guess you'll start with Law 5 and tell us a little bit about that.
Well, do you want me to do a recap of all 5, you mean?
Or actually, no. Let's go ahead and talk about the value of number 1.
The law of value, law number 1.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's the law of value simply says that your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment, which sounds a little bit counterintuitive or even counterproductive because it sounds like we're saying you shouldn't be making a profit, but the opposite is actually true. It sounds like, wow, give more in value than you take in payment. I mean, how does that work? So we really just have to understand the difference between price and value. And the two are very, very different. Price is a dollar figure. It's a dollar amount. It's finite. It simply is what it is. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, this service, this concept, this idea that brings with it so much worth or value that someone will willingly exchange their money for it while you make a very healthy profit? So let's look at how this might work. I like to use the example of an accountant who maybe you hire to do your taxes, and the accountant charges you, we'll just name a round figure, $1,000. That's his fee or his price, $1,000. But what value does he give to you that just makes this such a wonderful transaction for you to participate in? Well, let's say through his excellence, his diligence, his caring, his abilities, he saves you $5,000 on taxes. So right there, you know, that's a great thing. But he also saves you lots of time and also provides you with the security and the peace of mind of knowing it was done correctly. So we can see, Zurian, that value, whereas price is one thing, price is a finite dollar figure, value can be both concrete in terms of the money that you've been saved, but also conceptual in terms of things like peace of mind, which probably is worth even more than the money. So what he did is he gave you well over $5,000 in value in exchange for a $1,000 price. So he gave you more in value than what he took in payment. So you feel great about it, and he made a very healthy profit, which he should. And that's the kind of relationship we want to have with anyone with whom we do business. We want to give them such a unique, terrific, exceptional buying experience that they feel great about it, and we make a very healthy profit in the meantime. And really, this happens because of your shift in focus. In other words, when you understand in working with a prospect or a customer or a client, when you realize that the key is to focus not on the money, but to focus on them, on providing value to them, the money's going to naturally follow. We John David Mann, my excellent co-author in the Go-Giver series, we like to say that money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder to value's lightning, which means nothing more than that the value comes first, and the money is simply a natural and direct result of the value you've provided.
It's actually truly an outstanding concept. It's interesting. I was talking with an accountant the other day, and I was explaining to him how my show works, and he got very upset with the fact that I don't charge. And I was explaining to him that's not the point. The point for me is to share great information with people.
I'm going to agree with your accountant. I'm going to say, if you're providing such great value to your listeners, why aren't you making a profit from it? Why aren't you taking advertisement and having sponsors? Sponsors who, when they pay you a fee for advertising, they're doing it because they feel they're going to make more money more than what they paid. They're going to get more in use value than what you take than what you take in payment, but you're still going to make a profit. So I'm going to agree with your accountant and say you've got a great show, and you're providing great value to your listeners. There's no reason why you shouldn't be charging for it. You know, charging advertisers, not listeners.
It's interesting. Every time I talk to you, I get a new lesson taught to me. I appreciate it greatly. Oh man, that's deep. I guess my thing is that I never started it for that reason, and I didn't actually intend to have a show to begin with. I just wanted to work on my speaking. But you make a valid point. Thank you. Do you ever get people that want to object to the way that you're trying to re-educate them? Them providing value, more value than what they're getting paid for?
Yeah, well, and remember, some people even misinterpret that as you're giving more than you're getting, but that's not true. What you're doing is you're giving and receiving in two different ways, both ways which add more to each party than what they're giving up. For example, let's say you buy a book, and one of my favorite books is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and I'm rereading it again now for probably my 20th time or 25th time. I'm not sure, but I love that book. And I think I probably bought that book, this is 30 years ago, I bought this book for probably $10, okay? And I can't tell you, you know, how many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, that I can credit to things that I learned in that book. So what happens is I paid $10. The publisher of the book made a profit off my buying it, which he should, because obviously the paper and the printing and everything cost less than what he sells it for. So he made a profit, and I got a lot more in value than what I paid for. Now, it sounds like I got a lot better deal than he did, and in terms of one transaction I did. But that's where law number two comes in, because look how many copies of the book the publisher has sold, millions and millions and millions of copies of that book, where the publisher maybe made a few dollars profit on each one. You know, so So everybody get in a free market based exchange where value is constantly being traded between people. Some of it's financial value in terms of currency, and others is what we call use value, such as what the accountant provided, or the dinner at the restaurant, or the book, or what have you. What happens is, as a result of each free market-based transaction done between two or more willing parties, the idea is that each party comes away from the transaction better off than they were before the transaction. Once we understand this, then we understand why commerce is a great thing.
Yes, sir. That's like, who was it, Jim Rohn was talking about when he went to Russia to teach them about capitalism and how they had it all wrong. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Do you ever get people that want to argue this whole transaction issue with you? And how do you get them to want to change over to understand what it is just by what you said, or do you go more deeply into it?
It depends how deeply they want to go. I mean, if somebody really doesn't want to learn something, then there's nothing I or anyone else can say to cause them to want to. But what we can do is we can approach it in a way that's polite and respectful, so that they understand we're not trying to coerce them or anything. And you know, sometimes they're more accepting of something like that when they first understand that the person is benevolent, if you will, as opposed to someone arguing with them and saying, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. that doesn't usually, you know, end up being very persuasive. But no, I mean, there's people who, you know, in their way of looking at the world and seeing the world, they're certainly not going to buy into that idea, because that's not how they see it. I did a blog post this morning, on belief systems and how we all see the world through our own beliefs, and these beliefs have been shaped from, you know, a combination of upbringing, environment, schooling, television, you know, media, the news, movies, now the internet, and so our belief systems are pretty much a compendium, if you will, or a summation of everything that's hit our senses since the time we've been born. And so not everybody is going to look at, you know, is going to hear me say something like this and agree with it. And again, it's their right not to, you know, if that's what they choose.
Totally understand. Well, I know I can definitely tell you and anybody that's listening, they need to get a hold of all of your books, especially the first two. But the one thing that I really like is the fact that you really did take a little story about a powerful business idea and expound on it in a way that everybody should be able to understand. I mean, the story and how you put Pindar,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how he's, you know, how he goes through the different processes and how he's learning about how each person plays a part or their role is just, it's phenomenal.
I was very fortunate that I had a great, great co-author who was really the master storyteller and the lead writer and storyteller, John David Mann, who was phenomenal. So it was really a good combination of our brains in putting this together. And, you know, it's been very well accepted, and we're very grateful for that.
That's phenomenal. That really is. And, again, I'm thankful for it, because you talk about, what was it, number two was The Secret, three was The Law of Value, and then we go from there.
Law number one was the law of value. Law number two, the law of compensation. Law number three is the law of influence, and this is a very important law, because what it says is that your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first, which, again, sounds sort of counterintuitive to what we usually would think, and it maybe even sounds counterproductive. And yet, you know, if you notice, the great leaders, the top influencers, the ultra-successful and profitable salespeople, this is simply how they run their lives and conduct their businesses. They're always placing other people's interests first in terms of always looking for ways to add value to others' lives. Now, it's very important to qualify this by saying that when we say place other people's interests first, we don't mean in any way to imply that you should be anybody's doormat or a martyr or self-sacrificial in any way. Not one single bit. It's just that as one of the mentors, Sam, told Joe, the protege in the story, that the golden rule of business is simply that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And there's no faster, more powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you in others than by stepping outside yourself, moving from what, and this is important, moving from what we call an I focus or a me focus to an other focus. Always looking for ways to plant those seeds of value to make another person's life better, richer, more fulfilling, whether it's through our products or services or even when we first meet them, long before the relationship starts, by focusing on them and asking them about themselves and their business and asking them how we can know if someone we're talking to is someone they'd like to meet or someone who'd be a good referral for them. There's all sorts of ways to genuinely and authentically provide value to others that really plants seeds of goodwill, of great will in people's lives. And when that happens, wow, now, you know, all of a sudden you become that go-to person, that center of influence. People want to be a part of your life.
Yeah, and that's a really good feeling. I think I'm starting to experience some of that. But that leads right into the, what is it, law of authority?
Well, law of authenticity. So close, almost. But the law of authenticity says that the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. And this is key. In the story, one of the mentors, her name was Deborah Davenport, she related that she, early in her career, she learned a very, very important lesson. And that was that all the skills in the world, the sales skills, technical skills, people skills, as important as they are, and they all are very important, they're all for naught if you don't come at it from your true, authentic core. But see, when you do, when you show up as yourself day after day, week after week, month after month, people feel good about you. They have confidence in you. They know you. They like you. They trust you. They respect you. And, you know, they're attracted to you, and they're much more likely to want to do business with you and refer business to you if appropriate. And so, you know, it's very key, and we need to ask the question, well, why don't people show up as themselves? And, you know, the first thing we think of is, well, maybe the person's a phony, or maybe this person's, you know, crooked or – no, it's not usually the case. I mean, there are all sorts of people out there in the world, but usually that's not the issue. What we find is that more often than not, the reason why the typical person doesn't really show up authentically as themselves is because they really don't recognize the value they have to the marketplace. See, and let's face it, when you don't realize your own value, it's hard to be motivated to show up as yourself because you don't really think anybody's going to respond to you. So,
yeah.
You know, so and I think as human beings, we all have two types of value. We have intrinsic value just by virtue of being born. You know, we come with a very high value attached to us. But we also have market value. And I define market value as those skills, characteristics, traits, talents that allow you to bring value to the marketplace for which you'll be rewarded. And what happens is, a lot of times, Zurian, people just don't recognize their own value because they're just too close to themselves. I mean, you know, sometimes it's hard to see the forest for the trees, as the saying goes. You're used to the skill you have or these talents or these character traits. I can't tell you how many times I've mentored someone and the person has told, you know, I've asked them what they're doing and they tell me and it's really significant. And I'll say, wow, that is awesome. That is great. And their response will be, oh, no, everybody knows that or everybody does that. And they weren't being falsely modest. They really didn't know that what they had was really that special and that it had great potential value to the marketplace, which is why it's so important either to have a mentor or a coach or to at least be conscious enough and take inventory of what you bring to the table and what you offer. Because typically, as Deborah said in the book, you are enough as your authentic self. You are enough, which doesn't mean we don't continue to learn and grow and become an even better, higher, more effective authentic self. But it means that as we are right now, we all have our strengths that we can bring to others.
Phenomenal, phenomenal. So that humility is important, and also being humble is important, but also understanding that, you know, you are a leader and you can be an influencer. Or as a leader, you are an influencer.
Yeah, well, I don't think, and you know, I don't think humble, you know, sometimes I think we misdefine humility in thinking that it means a weakness or someone not having confidence in themselves, but that's not really being humble. That's more, you know, either self-hating or if not to that degree, having a lack of confidence. But humility is really, it's not thinking that you're nothing. It's knowing that you're something. But knowing that, you know, others have had a part of it, whether you're theologically, whether, you know, you're getting your strengths, talents, greatness from God, or if a person's more secular, they could just, you know, from nature or from their genes, you know, from their parents or from the environment and so forth. But whatever it is, it really means that while if it is to be, it's up to me, as the saying goes, also nobody does it alone. I mean, we're a part of humanity, and we all, you know, just by the very nature of the free market, we buy, sell, and trade with each other. It's up to us to create the relationships with others that, because of the value we provide to them, they're going to also want to provide value to us. I think the theologian C.S. Lewis said it best when he said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's just thinking of yourself less. You know, it's staying focused on others as opposed to ourselves.
Oh, phenomenal. And you also have a phenomenal, people that you interview and the interviews that you've conducted, I've listened to several of them. They've been huge. Could you share with the listeners today how they can get in contact with you, how they can subscribe to hearing the shows that you do and the people that you interview?
Sure. If they just visit my website, which is burg.com, and that's burg.com, they can subscribe to my Influence and Success Insights, in which we send out just very, very value-based, highly value-based information to help people become more effective and more profitable in their lives and businesses. They can go to my blog, and if they'd like to subscribe to that, they can. I've got about 400 archived articles, and as you were saying, videos and interviews that I do with top thought leaders and business leaders from all over. And while they're there, also they can connect with me on social media, and they can download a chapter of the book, The Go-Giver.
That's phenomenal. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I've listened to several of Bob's interviews, and definitely there's been a whole lot of golden nuggets. Matter of fact, I think I've bought about 3 of the books.
Thank you. We've been very, very fortunate to have some great authors on there.
Yes, sir. You definitely have. That's without question. And also, I've been able to share some of your information, so I'm hoping that people pull in. And because of you and other great speakers like you, we've been featured in the Business Review. I thought that was really interesting.
Congratulations.
We were the lead show in that. And again, that's because of the fact that we're able to bring people like yourself to the forefront of people that don't know. Because it's amazing to me how many people know very little about not only themselves, but how to network, how to talk to people. And your books like The Go-Giver help us. How you say, a little story about a powerful business idea.
Thank you. I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Phenomenal. And with that said, what other areas would you like to share with us or talk about?
Oh, there's so much to talk about. So little time. How much time do we have?
And you've got a plethora of things that you could talk about that all of us need.
Well,
I think just trying to grow ourselves, because you also mentioned
I think
about,
like many of us, you know, I read a lot, and so I do get the advantage of learning from other people, and I think it's very important. You know, we were talking earlier about the book Think and Grow Rich, and that book was written in 1937, and yet, you know, as you read it, you see that it's just as applicable today as it was back then. And I would, you know, I would suggest to everyone, if they are listening to this show, if they have not read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, to buy that book, because it's basically got pretty much all the wisdom in there that if you'll apply it, you can be very, very successful. And you know, it's titled Think and Grow Rich, but there's a lot more to it than that. It starts with thinking, because everything starts with thought. But it's also, you know, of course, mixing thought with action. It's being a go-giver as well as a go-getter, because we also have to take action on the ideas. So I think, you know, a reading program is great for anyone to start with, and I would say Think and Grow Rich would be a wonderful book for people to start off with.
Phenomenal. Well, again, I want to thank you for coming on and for sharing the knowledge not only with me but the thousands and hundreds and thousands of people that you've helped, because, again, we need it, you know, and the fact that you said another thing that was very crucial, even though you're a very well-read person, you're continuing to try to develop and grow and not only help others. So you're definitely being a go-giver, as I've admired
you
said, phenomenal human being, and nobody can argue that.
Well, thank you. And Ivan, of course, is one of my heroes, the founder of BNI, and he's just he's a terrific, terrific human being, and really one of my heroes.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's actually become a regular on the show, and I'm very thankful for that.
Excellent.
It's a phenomenal message, and the both of your messages go hand in hand with each other. It's the same philosophy, just a slightly different spin.
Oh, sure.
No. Anyway, again, anybody that's interested, Bob's information is also at the bottom of the show. Bob, I want to thank you again for giving us 30 minutes of your time and coming on the show. And with that, I want to tell you to have a great and blessed day and, of course, a blessed life. Thank you.
Honored. Thank you, my friend.
All right. You take care. Hopefully we'll talk again. I'd really like
Absolutely.
To talk about those other books, too.
Sure. That's whatever you'd like.
That's a plug.
Thank
All
you,
right, I'll be getting in touch with you then. Thank you very much.
Right.
And everybody,
have a great
thank
day.
You for listening to the Zurian Show. I wish you all the best and have a great and wonderful life. Take care.